Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Brachos Daf Yud. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Following the conclusion of our regular Daf Yomi Gemara Shiur, we will offer a supplemental Shiur covering the Tosfos of our Daf for those who are interested. Today's Gemara begins 4 lines from the top of Daf Yud. Before we begin the actual Gemara, we glance at the outside margin where one of the features of the Shas Ozer appears, a topic heading which we call Nosei. At times, we provide also structural notes that we call Mivneh. In this case, our Nosei topic heading reads, Itamu Chatoim Velo Itamu Choitim. The Pasuk says, Itamu Chatoim Min Aretz Rishoyim Od Einom, that with the cessation of sins, there will be no more wicked. The Gemara will be teaching a point that one should pray for the cessation of sins and not the death or destruction of the sinners themselves. The note continues to read, Maisa Bebir Yoinim, the Gemara relates an incident of ruffians, Shehitsiku, the Rebbe Meir, that troubled Rebbe Meir, that bothered him, Teguvaso Lozeh, Udvorah Shel Bruria Ishto. We'll see his reaction to those who were bothering him, and the reaction of Rebbe Meir's wife, Bruria, by name. In the Gemara, we will be using a house marking to highlight the name Bruria, and that's featured under our Mivneh heading. And we will also be using a double underline to highlight the expression Tzeduki. Tzeduki were people that were non-believers of the Torah oral tradition. Another expression that will be highlighted is Shvil L'Seifei Dekro. You'll see this repeated, and in our markings we often use markings to show a type of repetitious structure in the Gemara. Let us now turn to the Gemara itself, 4 lines from the top. Hano Biryoini, we should note that this is a Maisa, and we have a long marking for this, and that is to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You see the word Maisa encircled with a descending vertical dashed line, showing you that the Maisa extends all of these lines. So now the Gemara. Hano Biryoini, Dehavu B'Shivavuseid Rabbi Meir. There were some ruffians, uncouth individuals that were in the neighborhood, neighborhood of Rabbi Meir. Vavu Kometzaru Le Tuva. They oppressed him a great deal. Havu Koboi Rabbi Meir, Rachami Iluyuhu, Kihefi de Limusu. Rabbi Meir davened, he prayed for them to die. Omro Le Bruria. Now here we have another long marking on the to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, a nun you see encircled with a descending vertical dashed line. This is a long point, a nekuda, a long point. Omra le Bruria devisu. Bruria, his wife, said, Rabbi Meir's wife, my daitoch, what is your consideration in praying for their death? Mishum dechtiv, because it says in the pasuk, itamu chatoim, because itamu means something to cease, to finish, to end. Is because it says that, miksiv choitim, does it say in the pasuk, sinners, chatoim ksiv, the word chatoim means the sins, so that what the prayer really is that that sins should cease. V'oid, and furthermore, shvil l'seifei dekra, continue to the end of the pasuk. Shvil literally is lower down, but for our purposes it means continue reading till the end of the pasuk. U'rishoyim od einom. Kevon di'itamu chatoim. The end of the pasuk says, and there will be no more wicked. And the explanation is that kivan di'itamu chatoim, when the sins cease to be violated Rishayim Odeinam. There will be no more wicked because there's no more sinning. Elaboi Rachmi Eliyu Dilahadru Betruva Rishayim Odeinam. Rather, you should daven, should pray for them that they should Dilahadru is to Choser, to go back to the Choser Betruva, to repent, and thereby there will be no longer any wicked. And what happened? Bo Rachmi Eliyu. The Hadru Betshuva, Rabbi Meir Davin, he prayed for their, for them to decide to pursue a path of penitence, and they in fact did. They were Choser Betshuva. Omar Lo Hahu Tzeduki Lebruya. A tzeduki, as we referred to earlier, they are, we'll call them a skeptics, or they are deniers of the Torah, the oral Torah tradition. So a tzeduki said once to Bruya, Ksiv, it says in the scriptures. Now, the tzedukim do acknowledge, at least superficially, they acknowledge the veracity of the written Torah. So they are found often quoting from Psukim. So he quotes a Pasuk. It says, Rani Akora Lo Yolada. Now, the translation of that is, Rani has to do with joy. Akora is a barren woman. So the Tzeduki asks, Mishum De Lo Yolada Rani, because a woman hasn't given birth, she should be joyful. Omra Le. So Bruya responded, Shatya, idiot or fool, Shvil Lesefe Dekro, continue reading the Pasuk to reveal its meaning. Dechtiv, Ki Rabim B'nei Shemema Mibnei Be'ula Omar Hashem. The joy of Roni that's expressed at the beginning of the Pasuk is associated with this part of the Pasuk that says, Ki Rabim B'nei Shemema, that in the future there will be more children to the one who is currently desolate, Mibnei Be'ula, more so than the married woman, says Hashem. And the analogy here is that the Jewish people today, before the time of redemption, are in a state of desolation. But in the future, they, the those who appear as desolate now, those who are B'nai Shemaiah, will be much more, there will be greater multitudes of them than the children of the one who has it good now, namely the peoples of the world that are full of idolatry, that now appear to be on top. But in the future, Rabbim B'nai Shemaiah. Well, if that's the case, then Elo Mai Akora Lo Yolada. So what does the beginning of the Pasuk mean? What is the reference to the barren woman who hasn't given birth? Answer, Roni Kineses Yisrael, Shedoyme Li'isha Akora, Shelo Yolda Bonim Ligehenem Kavasaichu. So Buria answers that, let the nation of Israel be joyful, who is barren with regard to the birth of wayward, rebellious children that are destined to purgatory, like you, addressing the tzeduki. So the joy in this pasuk is a reflection of the joy of Knesset Yisrael, of Klal Yisrael, that doesn't produce wayward children, and that in the future will be much greater. Many more multitudes of them than those who are currently the skeptics and idol worshippers. Omalei Hahu Tzeduki the Rebbe Avo. Another incident involving a Tzeduki, hence we continue with our double underline. So the Tzeduki said to Rebbe Avo, Ksiv, it says in Tehillim Perek Gimel, Mizmor Ludovit Bevorchu Mipnei Avshalom Beno. A song recited by David upon the escape, or the running of his son, his escape from his son Avshalom. Uksiv, it says in Tehillim Nun Zayin, LeDavid Michtam Bevorchoi Mipnei Shalom Bamaora, a chapter of Tehillim featuring David HaMelech's escape from Shaul in the cave. Hey, Maisa Havi Bereisha, these two incidents you have. David running from Avshalom and David running from Shaul. Which of these incidents historically was earlier? Michti Maisi Shaul Have Bereisha. The incident involving Shaul HaMelech was earlier. So Lichtov Bereisha. It, what that which is featured in chapter 57, Tilim Nun Zayin, should have been written earlier. Switch them around, maybe. Have this in, have David's escape from Shaul in chapter 3, and the escape from Avshalom, which was much later, in chapter 57. Omar Lahu. So Rabbi Avol responded. And we have a long marking for Rabbi Avol's response. You see the tuf to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line indicating all of these lines of Gemara form the answer. Rabbi Avol responds to the Tzeduki's question, Atun you delo darshisun smuchin, that don't pay heed to proximity and juxtaposition of psukim, so kashya lechu, you in fact have a difficulty. This, the concept of looking beyond the actual words of the text, namely looking at positioning of phrases and psukim and words, this is something that's characteristic of the oral tradition, but you deny the oral tradition. So therefore you have a problem. Anan de darshinon smuchin lo kashilon. We who pay heed to proximity of verses one to the other have no difficulty. There's a short bracketed section. If we skip it momentarily, the Gemara immediately answers. It says, Lama nismecha parshas Avshalom le parshas Gogu Magog. The Gemara then will deal with the Rabbi Avol will present the answer. However, in the brackets, the Gemara gives us a source for this, for the concept of paying heed to verses in proximity of one another. Now, we read the bracketed section. The Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Smuchin min HaTorah minayin. Where is there a hint in the Torah to the significance of proximity of one point to another? Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Smuchin lo'ad lo'olam asuyim be'emes v'yoshar. Smuchim, things next to each other, are forever to be noted. They represent truth and that which is straight. So now the question is, why in fact is Parshas Avshalom, which was something that happened chronologically much later than the Parsha of Shaul HaMelech, so why is Parshas Avshalom positioned in chapter 3? Lama nismecha parshas Avshalom le parshas Gogu Magog. Parshas Gogu Magog is something that is addressed in the Tehillim in chapter 2, Perek Beis of Tehillim. Lama rog shugoyim ulumim yegurik. That's referring to the Milchemes Gogu Magog, which is sometimes translated as the War of Armageddon, namely a war that's characteristic of the end of time. So why is the Parsha of Avshalom in Perek Gimel put next to Perek Beis, which deals with Gogu Magog? So the answer is Sheim Yom Aloch Adam. If someone were to question the possibility of a Milchoma of like Gogu Magog, and they'll ask you, Klum yesh eved shemore barabo, could it be that a servant rebels against his master? Which is what the Milchemes Gogu Magog represents, is the Pasuk says they come al Hashem v'al Meshicho. They are coming to war against the Almighty. So could it be that humanity, humankind, people will rise up against the Almighty in rebellion? So if that is their source of wonderment, you can say back, Afata emor lo, klum yesh ben shemorei b'aviv, elohave. You'll ask, well, could it be that a son would rebel against his father? And then rhetorically, say, yeah, of course, there was. And that's the case of Avshalom rebelling against David, causing David to run from Avshalom. So it could be. Hocharami, so too, with regard to Gogu Mogo, again, the Eved rebelling against the master, Nami Havi, that too could be. It's a reality. It's something to reckon with. Before we continue in the Gemara, let us glance at the outside margin where we have the Mivneh structural note that appears. You will notice a Roman numeral number 1 and Roman number 2 and a bow tie shape. These are drushos. Hakshuros l'chamisha borchinavshi betilim kuf gimel kuf dalid. The expression Borchi Nafshi appears five times in Tillim chapters 103 and 104. Bosis l'simun zeh, a basis for our markings, ayin Rashi dibur maschil chamisha. If you notice Rashi, in that dibur maschil, you'll see that there is a connection between these numbers. The topic heading, the nosei, betilim kuf gimel kuf daled, muskar chamisha pomen borchi nafshi. In these chapters, Tillim 103, 104, there is a reference to Borchi Nafshi five times. David HaMelech Omar Shira, David HaMelech sang praise, Al Kach Shedor B'Chamisha Olamos, that he dwelled in five different worlds. Let us now turn to the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochoi. My Dichtiv, Pia Pascha b'Chochma v'Toras Chesed al Lishoina. The pasuk makes reference to the mouth that opened with wisdom and the Torah of kindness on its tongue. Keneged mi Omar Shlomo mikrozeh? Who did Shlomo Hamelech, who authored Sefer Mishlei, who did he have in mind when he spoke about the tongue that spoke wise sayings? Lo Omro Elo keneged David Aviv. He said it with David HaMelech, his father, in mind. Shedor b'chamisha oylomim v'amashira, that dwelt in five worlds and said song, sang praise. The Rashi on the upper part of the page, v'amar shira keneged kulam, amar shira l'chshashor suruach akedish olav, when he had a sense of divine inspiration, he said Shira regarding these five worlds that will be featured in the Gemara. Dor b'me'imo, the first world, so to speak, was as a fetus in his mother's womb. V'omar Shira shnemar borchi nafshi es Hashem v'chol krovai es shem kodshoi. Kol krovai, Rashi says, Al Shem Kirve Imoi Shador Besochan. Krovai is an expression meaning innards, that he dwelt as a fetus inside of his mother. Yotzulavir Oilom Vinistakil Bekuchovum Mazolos. This is the second stage, the second world. He was born and noticed the heavens, the stars, and constellations. The Omar Shira, and regarding that, he pronounced song. Shenemar Boruchu Hashem Malachov Begibore Koach Osei Dvoro Lishmoa Bekol Dvoro Boruchu Hashem Kol Tzvaov. Now, that is Pasuk Chof. Now, in our the etc. that the Gemara has, you'll notice we have a star directing you to the inside margin. Pasuk Chof Beis says, Borchi Nafshi Es Hashem. So, following Pasuk, these Psukim, Pasuk Chof Aleph, you have another Borchi Nafshi. And the Pasuk that we read, Baruch Hashem Alachov Gvorkachar, is a reference to the heavenly hosts, as is represented by the stars and constellations. Continuing, a third level, Yonak Mishteimo v'Nistakel B'Dodeo, he suckled from his mother and noticed her breast, V'Omar Shira Shenemar Borchi Nafshi Es Hashem V'Al Tishkichi Kol Gemulav. Gemara explains this in the bracketed section. These brackets, if we skip the bracketed section, you will see how we arrive at the fourth level, the fourth world, where it says Ro'o b'mapalos n'shorishoyim. And within the brackets, the Gemara will explain the pasuk that we just read. So upon noticing his suckling and nursing from his mother, he said Shira, and here the Gemara says, "My kol gemulav." Omar Rabbi Avo, she'osa lo dodim b'mokoyim bina. The Kodesh Baruch Hu made the human beings source of milk opposite the heart. It basically the woman's breasts are located upper part of the body, opposite the heart, which is considered the seat of wisdom. Taimo, mai, why is the woman's source of lactation over there. Amar Rav Yehuda, kidei shelo yistakeh b'mokom erava. One shot, one explanation is that as opposed to animals whose source of lactation is very often at the posterior of the animal, near the reproduction organs, not so in the case of the human being, so that the child won't gaze upon the mokom erva, that the area of reproduction. And Rabbasot Masna Oimer Omar Kidesh Lo Yinak Mimokum Hatinoifis, the as opposed to animals, where the udders of cows and sheep and goats and the like are located in the posterior section near the organs of waste disposal, dirty area, not so in the case of the woman whose nursing is in a relatively clean place. So the care that the Almighty vested in the creation of man and his sustenance is something that aroused David HaMelech to say Shira. Number four, Ra'ah b'mapolosam shel rishoyim v'omar Shira. He noticed the downfall of the wicked, and that motivated him to say Shira. Shenemar yitamu chatoyim min oretz urishoyim odeinom. Borchi nafshi es Hashem haleluka. With the end of sin, the cessation of sins, and thereby the disappearance of the wicked, that motivated David HaMelech to recite song. Nistakil b'yoyim hamisa, he paid heed to the day of death, the Omar Shira. Shnemar borchi nafshi es Hashem. Hashem elokai gadalti me'od hoid v'hodor levoshta. That's the pasuk. The Gemara asks, "My mashma dal yom hamisa ne'mar." What is the reference in this pasuk to the day of death? Omar Rabo Barav Shilo misefe dinyana d'chtiv. From the continuation of that section, you will see that it's a reference to death, because it says, "Tastir ponecho yibohelun, toisef rucham yigvon, ve'el aforam yishuvun," and that pasuk is clearly a statement of what happens at death, where the spirit is gathered in, it dies, and they return to their dust. What's interesting here, and what has to be thought about on a deeper level, what is the basis of saying song of Shira in the context of death? So it could be, if we would allow ourselves a personal explanation, and that is that at the point of death, the spirit, the neshama, has a chance to reconnect to its original source. And that's what death, in effect, represents: a separation of the physical from the spiritual, and a chance once again for the spirit to rise to its lofty original sources. So maybe that is what would be reason for singing song about. However, as is the case in many sugyas like this, many pieces of Gemara that have a very, we'll call it a mystical side to them, there is much more that needs to be researched, which is beyond the purview of our Gemara markings, Daf Yomi Shiur. Continuing in our Gemara, we have a note on the side, a topic heading, the Nosei, Ode Drosha B'Tehillim Kuf Gimel through Kuf Dalet, another Drosha dealing with this section of Tehillim. We will see a house marking that appears in two directions. The Mivneh on the side of our Gemara says Ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a give and take structure. The house form of pointing up represents she'elos, and inverted represents tshuvos, responses. Our Gemara now continues. Rav Simi bar Ukva, the Amri law, another version of names, mar Ukva, havi shechiach kamed Rav Shimon ben Pazi. So either Rav Simi or mar Ukva were regulars by Rav Shimon ben Pazi, vavi mesader agadato kamei de Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. And he used to establish or recite passages of an agadic nature in the presence of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. We have a long marking to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, a nun with a vertical dashed line. On the we have a double star that offers an explanation on the inside margin as to why we have this marking. So the note reads, Nekuda Arukazu, the long point that we have here, Mesamenes Oirech HaGemara, it delineates the length of the Gemara Be'inyan HaMifgash Ben Rav Simi Im Rav Shimon Ben Pazi B'drashas HaPsukim, the encounter between Rav Simi Bar Ukva and Rav Shimon Ben Pazi takes up these lines of Gemara. So now, let us, after being introduced to the encounter between Rav Simi and Rav Shimon ben Pazi, Omar Lei, my dichtiv. So Rav Simi asks, it says in the verse, in Tehillim, Perek Kuf Gimel Posuk Aleph, Borchi Nafshi Es Hashem V'chol Krovai Es Shem Kodesho. Omar Lei, so Rav Shimon answered, and here we have to add that he thought that he is asking about in asking about this Posuk, that he's focusing on the issue of the innards, V'chol Krovai, that blessed be, that my soul should bless my spirit should bless Hashem and all of my innards. So in responding to the question, Rav Shimon ben Pazi thought, this will be changed later, but thought that the question was focused on the issue of why are innards featured. So Omar Lei, now we have here a long answer marking, the tuf to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text shows us the length of this answer. However, later in the Gemara, when the house form, this right now is an inverted house indicating an answer, but later the questioner of Simi will say, like, you didn't understand what my original question was. In other words, after you gave us this drosha, which lasts a few lines, he'll say back, Rav Simi will say back, but I wasn't asking about that which you're answering. So, in the meantime, we're emphasizing that Rav Shimon ben Pazi thinks that the question is focused on the issue of innards. So, Amar Lei, Bo Re'e, Shalom Kemidas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Minas Bosur V'dam. Note the difference between the way of Hashem and the way of Bosur V'dam, human beings. Midas Bosur V'dam, the nature of man, is Tzor Tzura Agabi Koisel. He can make an image, he can etch out or carve or sculpt an image on a wall. V'eino yochel lahatil bo ruach u'nishama kirvayim u'bnei ayim. Even though the image that he sculpted is exposed, he nevertheless can't vest in this production, a spirit and a soul and organs and internal organs. V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eino Kein, the Almighty is different. Tzor Tzura B'soch Tzura, when it comes to a human being, there's a woman in pregnancy, so you have the woman, she is a tzura, and the fetus developing within her is a form within a form. And umatil bo ruach u'neshama kirvayim b'nei mayim. And with regard to the fetus, the Almighty vests in it, or places in it, a spirit, a soul, and all of its organs. If we have a bracketed section here, the right after the bracketed section, you'll have Rav Simi saying back, Omar Lei, ano hochi ko amino, like I was asking about something else. However, these brackets aren't really for skipping purposes, but on the you'll notice there's a star on the inside margin, an explanation of why these couple lines are in brackets. A bracket length indicator is also provided, by the way, to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara. You can see a vertical dash dotted line indicating the length of the bracketed section. Their note there reads as follows. So, Grayim Elu Einom L'Shem Dilug, these brackets, or the bracketed section, is not for skipping, Elo L'Harois, the Ad Kan Hoyo HaJ. Rosh al Apostle Ketilin Perikuf Gimel. That up till this point is what Rav Shimon ben Pazi's drosha was regarding the Tilim Perikuf Kuf Gimel that was asked about. Besochasagrim, within the brackets, Hagmor Mavia Raya Miposuk Besefer Shmuel. The Gemara will bring a proof or support to this drasha from a posuk in Shmuel. Achreasagrim, Gemara Choseres Lapsukim Betilim Kuf Gumil Kuf Dalid. Later, after the brackets, Gemara continues back with the psukim of Tehillim. So in the brackets, the Gemara says, Vahainu Diomra Chana, that which Reb Shimon ben Pazi darshened, is something that Chana, the mother of the prophet Shmuel, had already said in Shmuel Perek Aleph Posuk Bay. Shmuel Aleph Perek Bay's Posuk Bay's. It says, "Ein Kodosh Kashem ki ein biltecha ve'ein sur kelokenu." My ein sur kelokenu. What is the meaning of that phrase? Answer: Ein sayor kelokenu. There is no artisan, craftsman like our God. And that's exactly what we just said. The ability to produce an image within an image and vest it with life. My ki'ein biltecha. What does that mean? Which was in this pasuk from Sefer Shmuel. Omar Rav Yehuda Bar Menasya al turki ki'ein biltecha. Don't read it as that. Ela ki'ein, ela ein levaloi secha. Valo secha is to wear something out. Shelo kamidas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Midas Boser V'dom. The way of the Almighty is not the way of man. Midas Boser V'dom Maise Yodov Mevalin Oso. A person creates a sculpture, for example. The sculpture will outlive the sculptor himself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mevalin Maaseh. The Kadosh Baruch Hu makes all kinds of creations, but he is eternal. And naturally he outlasts those things that he makes. So now we go back to the encounter between Rav Simi and Rav Shimon ben Pazi. So Rav Simi says, "Ano hachi ko amino loch." When I asked you about the psukim in Tehillim Kuf Gimel, I was asking thusly, and "Hani chamisha borchi nafshi keneged mi omron David." The focus, the emphasis, is on the five, the number five, the five borchi nafshis in honor of whom were they recited? Answer: Lo Amoron Ella Keneged. And you'll notice another reference, and here we have a bow tie with a Roman numeral number 2 to show that. And we circled the word Chamisha. You'll notice we did this earlier. We also have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. If you skim up to find the previous arrow, you'll notice on that line, we also had circled Chamisha. So what we're trying to show is that the Gemara is giving two approaches to this reference to five Borchi Nafshis. And that's what we meant when we told you to look at the Rashi earlier. There was Chamisha Borchi Nafshi Li'el Choshev Lehu. Rashi there says on this piece of Gemara that they were enumerated before. So the Gemara continues. Lo Amora, this is an answer now. Elo Keneged HaKadosh Baruch Hu U'Keneged Neshama. The five praises of Borchi Nafshi are in honor of the Almighty and the human soul. And here, with triangles, we will enumerate the five. And this is explained under our Mivneh heading in the outside margin, where you see the triangle featured. Chamisha Borchi Nafshi, Petehillim Kuf Gimel through Kuf Dalet, Keneged Mi Amoron David. So the first one, Ma HaKodesh Baruch Hu Moloi Kol HaOlam, just like the Almighty fills the world. In a broader sense, it can be said that the world is contained within the Almighty. The Almighty is all-encompassing, but for our purposes, we will stick to the translation. And just like the Almighty fills the entire world, Af Neshama Maleo Es Kol HaGuf. The human soul fills the entire body. Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Roya V'Eino Nira, just like the Almighty sees, but He Himself is not seen. Af Neshama Roya V'Eino Nira. So to the Neshama, the soul, notes what takes place, but doesn't, is not something that itself is seen. Number three, Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zon Es Kol HaOlam Kulo, just like the Almighty sustains the entire world. Af Neshama Zona Es Kol HaGuf, so to the soul sustains the body. Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tohor, just like the Kodesh Baruch Hu is pure. Af Neshama Tahira, so to the soul is pure. Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev B'Chadrei Chadorim, just like the Almighty dwells in an inner sanctum. Af Neshama Yeshevis B'Chadrei Chadorim, so to the Neshama sits in an inner sanctum. What that means is something that requires much further analysis, but Chadrei Chadorim, as a in translation sense, is a reference to an inner chamber. With this in mind, the five points of analogy, Yavoi Mishiyesh Bo Chamisha Dvarim Halolu, the neshama, the soul that has these five characteristics, Vishabeach Lemi Shiyesh Bo Chamisha Dvarim Halolu, and say praise to he who has these five characteristics. Hence the reference in the pasuk that Borchi Nafshi, let my soul say praise to the Creator. The Gemara continues with Rav Hamnuna, and before we continue with him, we glance at the outside margin under our No Say heading. Mifgash is a meeting of Chizkio v'Yishayo, a meeting or confrontation between King Chizkio and the prophet Yishayo. Chizkio Yishayo v'kuach b'neim mi tzorech lovoi l'mi. We'll see an argument concerning protocol. Who is to approach whom? King is to go to the prophet, or the prophet is to go to the king. A second point is Toichochas Yishayo l'chisyo al shelo kiyem mitzvahs pru'uvu. Yishaya will be chastising Chizkio in his abstinence from engaging in procreation. We turn to the Gemara. Omar Rav Hamnuna, Mai dichtiv mi kehechochom umiyodea peisher davar. Who is like the wise one, and who knows how to establish compromise? Me, and that's the pasuk itself, and now the explanation. Me ka kodesh boruch hu, and we should note, by the way, that this question was asked, what is the meaning of the pasuk? So, to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, you see a tough that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line. This is a long answer to the question. In this particular incident, though, the incident itself, or this confrontation between Chizkio and Yishayo, lasts a long time, and hence we're using a long point marking in the Kuda, which takes you down quite a few lines down Yud Amid Beis, actually down to the fourth wide line of Yud Amid Beis, which shows that the length of this this incident, or the contact between these two individuals. So in the meantime, the question was asked, what is the meaning of the pasuk? And the answer to this particular pasuk of Mikhe Chochom Yedeh Peshadovar, the answer follows, Mikhe HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shiyodeah Lasos Pshor Ben Shnei Tzadikim. Is there anyone like the Almighty that only He could come up with the way of making a compromise, of striking a compromise between these two righteous people, Ben Chizkio l'Yishayo? Now, what's the problem? Chizkio Omar leis Yishayo gaboi. Chizkio was a king. He says that by way of protocol, it's proper for the prophet to come to me. Dochi Ashlan Beliodo Azal Lagabi Achov. The precedent for that is Elio, who was a prophet, went to the king. And now I am a king, says Chizkio, so the prophet should come to me. Yishayo Omar, the prophet said, Lesi Chizkio Gaboi, the king should approach me, should come to me. Dochi Ashlan Behoiro Ben Achov. Thusly, we find by Yehoram ben Achav, who was a king, the Ozal Lagabi Elisha, the king went to the prophet Elisha. Ma also HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So with this conflict in mind, what does the Kodesh Baruch Hu do? Hevi Yisurim al Chizkiyo, he brought pain and trouble upon Chizkiyo, brought illness upon Chizkiyo, V'omar lo li'ishayo, and the Almighty instructed the prophet, Lech uvakir es ha'chayla, go fulfill Bikur Cholim. So that the prophet is going not so much as to greet the king, that may have been problematic, but he is going to be mekayim a mitzvah. He's coming to fulfill the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, which everyone has to do. Shenemar b'yom u'mahem chola chizkiyo lomus v'yovu elov yishayo ben omotz hanovi. And it was in those days, the pasuk says, that the king Chizkiyo became deathly ill, and the prophet Yishayo, the son of Amos, came to him, Vayomer Elov Ko Amar Hashem, and the prophet Yishayo said to the king Chizkiyo, Tzav Leveischo Ki Mei Sato V'lo Tichyeh. Issue a tzav is a will for your household, because you are going to die and you're not going to live. This last expression seems to have redundancy in it. My ki meis atov lo sichyeh. What does it mean to say that one is going to die and will not live? Obviously, if one is going to die, he's not going to continue living. Do you have to spell it out? So the Gemara answers, meis atov ba'olam hazeh v'lo sichyeh l'olam haba. That the prophet informs Chizkiyo that he's going to die in this world, a physical death, and will not have a spiritual continuity in the world to come. He won't live in Olam Haba. Amale, my kulei hai, Chizkiyo asks, why am I going to pay such a high penalty? How bad could I have been, so to speak? So what's all of this about? Omar Le, Yishayo answers, Mishum de lo askis beperiyav ribio, because you did not engage in lo asakta beperiyav, you didn't engage in procreation. One can see immediately how heinous a crime it is for one to abstain from procreation. One can, according to this Gemara, it would seem that one will even lose his portion in the world to come because he abstained from attempting to procreate. Omar le, so Chizkiyo answers you, if you're asking me why I abstained from Puri V'Ribya, Mishum de Chazoi li Beruach HaKodesh, I had a vision through divine inspiration, the Nafiminoi Bonin de Lomalu, that I'm going, that if I bear children, they will be evil. Omar le, Yishayo said, Bahadi Kavshi de Rachmona Lomaloch, Kavshi are the secrets of heaven. What business do you have dealing with the secrets of heaven? Ma'i de Mavkidis, Iboyaloch Lemevad, Umay de Nicho Tamikut Shibrichu Levid. That which your Mavkidis means instructed to do, your mitzvah is to procreate. That which the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to do, what kind of children to bring unto you, that's his business, and he does whatever he wants. Omar le, so Chizkiyo, upon hearing this, namely that it's not a consideration because of what kind of children a person will have, is not a consideration for abstaining from procreation. So Chizkiyo says, well, okay then, Omar le hashto havli bartoch. You should give me your daughter that I could marry. Efshed de gromo suchusu didi v'didoch. It could be that the merit that I and you have will be sufficient. V'nafki minoi bonin demalu. If I wed your daughter, so she comes into the picture with your merits combined with my merits, maybe we can have positive children. Amalei kvar nigzura lecho gzera. Yishayo says the ruling has already been issued that he will die, and there's nothing you can do about it. Amale Chizkiyo says, what do you mean there's nothing I can do about it? Ben Amotz, he speaks to him in a harsh fashion, not even calling him by name, but rather son of Amotz. Kalei Nivuascho Vitzei, let your prophecy end and leave. Kach mikublani mibeis avi abba. Thusly, I have as a tradition from my predecessor, from my father's father, a reference to David HaMelech, to he who produced the Davidic dynasty. So thusly, I have as a tradition, afilu cherev chale munachas al tzavar shel adam, even if a sharp sword is on a person's neck, threatening to kill him, al yimna atzmim rachamim, person shall not withhold himself from prayer. In other words, even under the most dire circumstances, there is room for prayer. Itmar nami, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lozer, the Ami Travai, both Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lozer say, afilu cherev chad menochas al tzavar shel adam, even if a sharpened sword is resting upon a person's neck, threatening him with death, al yimna atzmo min harachmim, person should not withhold himself from prayer. Shenemar, hein yiktaleni, loy ayachel. They can attempt to kill me, but lo, unto him, unto the Almighty, I will pray. Before continuing with the Gemara on the top of Yud Amud Beis, we should note the structural phenomenon. As you turn to Yud Amud Beis, you'll notice a bracketed section. The bracket length indicator you can see also to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. The descending vertical dash dotted line shows you that it's four lines. In the middle of the fourth line from the top, Miyad Vayasev Chizkiyo Ponev Alakir Vayispal, immediately after Chizkiyo chastises the Novi, he in fact continues, he immediately engages in prayer, as he said one should do. Before going on in the Gemara, though, there is a note that one sees in the Bach, the Os Beis fills in with regard to this story involving Chizkiyo and Yishayo. If we look together in the Os Beis, he says, that's what one is supposed to do. One is supposed to pray. L'sof Yohav le Barte. According to the version that the Bach presents of this story, is that Yishayo gave to Chizkiyo his daughter. Nofak minei Menashe v'Rav Shoke. Two sons were born. One's name is Menashe, and the other Rav Shoke. Yumo chado arkevinu akasvei. So Chizkiyo took these two boys and on his shoulders to bring them to the Beis HaMedrash, the place of Torah study. Omar Chad Minayu, one of the boys, said, Chazi Reisha Da'abo Lematvi Bei Galdoni. He says, father's head is suitable for fuel, for roasting fish. V'chad omar chazi reisha d'abo la'kruvi olei la'akum. Father's head is fit to offer upon it sacrifices to an idol. Chavtinu ba'ara, Chizkiyo heard there his children's reference to himself. He threw them to the ground. Menashe choyev Rav Shoke mis Menashe lived. He eventually became King Menashe, who was noted for his evil ways for a certain significant part of his life. He continued to live. Rav Shoke mis, he died. Kori Anafshe the Kelai Kelov Roim. And referring to himself, he announces that his vessels are vessels of evil. Turning now back to the Gemara text, we noted that there was brackets at the top. So after seeing this point of hein yiktaleni lo ayachel, that even if there's a sword on one's neck threatening him with death, even if one thinks that the fate has been sealed, that is not reason for withholding prayer. So, skipping the brackets, miyad vayasev Chizkio ponav alakir vayispalel el Hashem. Immediately, Chizkio engaged in prayer, turned to the wall, and prayed to the Almighty. Before continuing, though, let's go back to the bracketed section. We have a note as to explaining why these brackets, by the star on the margin of the Gemara. So, Graim Elu, we have written l'shem dilug kedei lishmor al retzef hasipur. The purpose of the brackets was, as we demonstrated, to preserve the flow of the story. Within the brackets, another Amoraic comment regarding this idea of not withholding oneself from prayer, even if the circumstances appear to be dire. The Gemara at the top says, Omar of Chonon, afilu bal hachaloymus, even if the master of dreams, Omer, lo la'odam, la'mochar hu meis, bal ha'chalomos, in effect would mean if one dreams that, and in the dream he is told that tomorrow he is going to die, al yimna atzmoy min arachamim. Person should not withhold himself from prayer. So even though he has what he thinks is a spiritual communication, which you could say is a sealed faith, nevertheless, do not withhold prayer. Shenamar ki b'roiv chalomos v'havolam udvarim harbe ki es Hashem ki es holakim yirei. There may be a lot of emptiness in dreams. The main point is to fear the Almighty. Miyad vayasev Chizkio ponav al akir vayispal al Hashem. Immediately, Chizkio turns to the wall. As we've learned in previous Gemaras, this pasuk was cited, the idea that there should be no interposition between a person and the wall when one is davening. So he turns and davens to Hashem. My kir, what is the significance of that word in this pasuk? Omar Reb Shimon ben Lakish. We have here two approaches. Reb Shimon ben Lakish is the first approach. He says, Mikiros Libo. He prayed from the inner chambers of his heart, a very deep prayer. Shinemar, may I Ochila Kiros Libi. In this pasuk, you see Ochila is a word indicating prayer, and in that context you see the walls of one's heart. Kiros Libi. Rabbi Levi Omar Al Iske Hakir. His prayer involved a reference to a kir. Now, what the word kir is, and etc., we'll see as the Gemara unfolds. But his prayer involves a reference to a kir. Omar Lufanov, the Chizkio said to the Almighty, Ribono Shel Olam, Uma Shunamis. Shunamis was a woman who lived at the time of the prophet Elisha. And she hosted the prophet on his during his travels through her town, through Shunem, which was the town. So Chizkio says, Almighty, Uma Shunamis Shelo Osto El Kir Achas Ketana, Hechyeso Espino. If one knows the story involving the Isha HaShunamis, one learns that her son had experienced death and was revived, was restored to life. So the Shunamis, who made a kir achas ketana, she, which is a reference to her building a chamber, a room for hosting the prophet Elisha on his travels. So mind you, she made one small kir for the prophet, and you enabled her son to be revived. Avi Abba, father's father, a reference to a forebearer, namely Shlomo HaMelech, Shechipo es HaHechol Kuloi, Bekesiv Lezov, Halachas Kama V'Kama. He built an entire Beis HaMikdash whose walls were covered with gold and silver. All the more so, I should be Zoche to a salvation. Zechor no es Asher Hisalachti Lefonecho Be'emes U'Beleg Sholem Atoiv Be'inecho Osisi. Chizkio says, I want to remind you that I was a pious person.
I walked in front of you in truth and with a wholesome heart, and I did good for you, or that which you find positive I performed. My vato benechosisi, what is this a reference to when he says I did that which is pleasant in your eyes? Number one, Omar Yuda, Omar Rav, Shesomach Gula Lutfila. First approach is that in his prayers he used to position, he used to recite the Kriya Shema and had it followed with Shmoyne Esrei. This concept of Smichas Gula Lutfila we already have seen quite an extensive discussion in previous Dapim on that. Number two, Rabbi Levi, Omar Shigonaz Sefer Refuos. There was a Sefer Refuos as a book of remedies, which seemed to be a very effective book of remedies. He put that book out of circulation. Gonaz means he hid it, so as to motivate people to pray. Because when this book was accessible to the masses, so people who took ill figured, well, I'll just open up the book, find the secrets of healing, and get healed that way. But with that being the case, they didn't feel a sufficient incentive to pray. So he put this book out of circulation, thereby creating an incentive for people who did take ill to daven. This is the at this point you can see our long point ends. So it's at this point that we see the story involving Chizkiyahu and Yishayahu. Their encounter comes to an end. However, we continue with references to King Chizkiyahu outside of that particular encounter. Tonu Rabbanan, we have a Tanaic source. And the topic heading that accompanies this on the outside margin, then I'll say, Shisha Dvarim Sha'asa Chizkiyahu. Six noteworthy things that Chizkiyahu did. Now the source. Shisha Dvarim Asa Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Al Shlosha Hodulo V'al Shlosha Lo Hodulo. Regarding three of them, the sages acknowledged them as positive, and with regard to three others, not the same. Al Shlosha Hodulo, regarding three actions, three things that Chizkiyahu did, he received approval. Number one, Gonaz Sefer Rufus V'Hodulo. He put the Book of Remedies out of circulation, and the Chachamim acknowledged that as a good thing. And as we said before, that was to motivate them to seek mercy through prayer. Number two, Kitas Nechash HaNechoshes V'Hodulo. Many years before, when the Jews were in the Midbar, there was a plague that afflicted the Jewish people, and Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed to make a serpent image, and by gazing upon that, people would be healed. In the course of time, people forgot the original instructions regarding this snake image and thought it to be an idol in and of itself, something to be worshipped, something to be turned to in prayer. So that is obviously anathema to Judaism, and Chizkiyahu realized that it was being misused, so he smashed the Nechash HaNechoshes, the copper snake. Number three, Girer Asmus Oviv Al Mita Shechavolim V'Hodulo. His father, whose name was Ochoz, his father was also a Rasha. When he died, so the king, his son Chizkiyahu, did not provide him with an immediate proper burial. Rather, Girer, he dragged Atzmas Aviv al Mita Shechavolim. He dragged his father's remains on a stretcher or a bed made of rope. This was an act of denigration, of disparagement. And Rashi at the top line says, Girer Atzmas Aviv l'fishoyo Rosha, since Ochaz was wicked. Bizehu means he disparaged him, and didn't provide an honorable burial. Lehotzio kehogen, the mitos zohav kesef, to carry him out, the remains, the body in a coffin or a stretcher made of gold or silver. So he did this act of disparagement regarding his father.
the reason for that is that through that disparagement, it would be a source of atonement for his father, and in the final picture, Chizkiyahu is doing his father a favor by achieving some level of atonement, so that when he enters the world to come, he will have some merit and hence receive a portion. The source continues, regarding three other actions, the Chachomim did not approve. Sosam me gichon velo hodulo. Me gichon is a stream of water right outside the city of Yerushalayim. In anticipation of, let's say, warring against the enemy, at that time there was the Assyrian Empire. Ashur was a threat, and he sealed up this water supply so that those soldiers would not have a source of water for drinking. Now, that was something that he should not have done. He should have maybe shown more trust in the Almighty that he would survive the threat of Ashur without having done that. Number two, Kitzetz Dalsus Hechal V'Shigram L'Melech Ashur V'Lo Hodulo. He removed the doors of the Beis HaMikdash and sent them as a gift to the king of Ashur. And the Chachamim did not approve of that. Ovar Nisan B'Nisan V'Lo Hodulo. Here we'll translate, but the Gemara itself will re-explain this in a moment. The translation is, Ovar is to establish an extra month of a year, which we call a leap year. So, Ovar Nisan, that means he delayed Nisan by adding a month, but when did he make this declaration? B'Nisan, when Nisan had already set in, and he was disapproved for that. The Gemara asks, how could Chizkiyahu, who was a very knowledgeable individual, how could he do that, extend the year by another month after Nisan already set in? Omi lislei l'chizkiyahu, does Chizkiyahu not hold from the following drosha? Hachodesh hazeh lochem roish chodashim. This, the Torah says, this is the first of the months. Zeh Nisan v'ein acher Nisan, which means, once Nisan has been sanctified as a new month, you can't now delay it and say that in 1 month from now we will now celebrate or experience Nisan. Once Nisan is established, that's Nisan, and not a month later. So there's no way Chizkiyahu could have done what we thought he did, that after Nisan set in on the first day of the month of Nisan, he then inserted a second Adar, which is the name of the month that precedes Nisan, and thereby established Nisan a month later. So that's not what he did. So what was his mistake? His mistake concerned a teaching of Shmuel. The Omar Shmuel, Ein Ma'arvin Es Hashana, B'yoyim Shloishim Shel Adar, Hoyo V'roy L'koyvoy Nisan. We just got finished saying before this that when Nisan sets in, you're not to establish a leap month, and there's a leap year, by adding a month. It's too late to add a month. Shmuel says that when you get to the 30th of Adar, a standard Jewish month, in its the basic length of a month is 29 days, and the 30th day, if it should arrive, is a result of the fact that witnesses did not come on the day after day 29 announcing that they saw the new phase of the moon, which ushers in a new month. So when you don't have witnesses that come and make that proclamation, the day after day 29 becomes day 30. So what does Shmuel teach? He says that when you're dealing with Adar, which we've mentioned very quickly before, that when you establish a leap year, we in effect add an extra Adar. There's an Adar Aleph and an Adar Beis. So there's an addition of a month of another Adar when we extend a year by a month, creating a leap year. Shmuel says that that declaration of extending the year by a new month cannot be made on Yom Shloshim Shel Adar, which in effect is the day, we call day 30 of Adar. Why not? Because that day, day 30, which really should be more accurately described as the day after day 29, let us say witnesses come to the court, announcing that they saw a new phase. So that day doesn't become day 30. It becomes day 1 of the new month. And that's what is meant in the Lashon of the Gemara, was Hoyl V'Roy L'Koyvoy Nisan. That day 30 of Adar is a day that in potential could become Nisan. And if it becomes Nisan, so of course it's too late to extend the year. Shmuel says that even on day 30, since in potential it could be Nisan, it's already too late to establish an extra Adar to make a leap year. What did Chizkiyahu HaMelech do? He, in fact, waited till the day after, day 29, and established an extra Adar. Sovar, the Gemara says, Sovar, Chizkiyahu held Hoyl V'Roy Lo Amrinan. This idea of in potential it being the first day of Nisan, well, I don't reckon with that. And throughout the day of the day after the 29th of Adar, it's not definitive. It doesn't become automatically Nisan. So as a result of that, he took the liberties of extending the year by adding a new month on starting at that with that day, on the day after the 29th of Adar. But our source said that what Chizkiyahu did was wrong. In other words, it was an incorrect ruling, because we accept the ruling of the Amora Shmuel, who says that day 30 of Adar is not a day to extend the year. Before continuing in the Gemara, we have a topic heading that accompanies this. Hamispalel v'toyla b'schus atzmo or achirim. We have a long marking here. We call this a long point marking. You can see there's a nun to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line. All of these lines form a point. So the Gemara, Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Yossi ben Zimra, Kol ha-toyla b'schus atzmo, toylen lo b'schus achirim. He who, when davening, expects a response to his prayers based on his own merits, and he cites his own merits for in the course of his prayer, that's called toyla b'schus atzmoi. The Rashi says on the upper part of the narrow lines, ha-toyla b'schus atzmo, she'omer b'tfiloso, someone who says while he's davening, asei li b'zechusi, do for me, answer me, because in my merit. Kegol Chizkiyahu shomar zechor no es asher salachti lefonecha, like we saw by Chizkiyahu, who said to the Almighty, remember my righteous ways. So that Rabbi Yossi tells us, or Rabbi Yochanan, the name of Rabbi Yossi, says that anyone who attempts to seek answers to his prayers through citing his own merits, in the event that his prayers are answered, they will be answered, and he will discover that the answer is a result of the merits of others. And the opposite is also true. He who attempts to benefit from through the merits of others, a type of we'll say an expression of humility, where a person is saying, I don't have merits, but others have merits, and in their merit, please answer my prayers. At the end, he will be answered because of his own merits. These two points we called Aleph and Beis are now illustrated by the Gemara. The double underline is used to highlight these two, the two characters that prove these two points. On the outside margin, the double underline is featured under our Mivneh heading, Moshe Tala and Chizkiyahu Tala. The Gemara explains, Moshe Tala b'schus achirim. In praying, he attempted to derive benefit through the merit of others. Shenemar, when Moshe Rabbeinu prayed, he said, Zechor l'Avram l'Yitzok l'Yisrael avodecha. Remember them. And Moshe Rabbeinu's prayers were answered. Tolu lo b'schus atzmo. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Vayomer Lashmideim, the Almighty had an intention to destroy them. Lulei Moshe Bechiro Omad Baperetz, Lefanov Lahoshiv Chamosoi Mehashchis. If not for Moshe, who stood in, Moshe the chosen one, stood in the breach to assuage the wrath of the Almighty. So once again, we see Moshe Rabbeinu in the course of his prayers was attempting to receive answers through the merit of others, and we see the Kodesh Baruch Hu when actually answering prayers, he mentions that he answers the prayers or brings salvation through Moshe himself. Chizkiyot HaLabesus Atzmo, we find the opposite with regard to Chizkiyot, who when praying cited his own merits. Dichtiv, he said, Zechor no es asher sarachti lefonecha. Remember that which I walked in your ways, and claiming that he deserves to be answered because of his own piety, talulo b'schus achirim, when eventually salvation came, it came through the merit of others. Shenemar, v'ganoisi el ho'ir hazos, the Almighty says, I will protect this city, l'hoshia, to save it, l'ma'ani u'leman dovid avdi, for my sake and for the sake of David HaMelech, which was a multi-generation great-grandfather of Chizkiyo, was a descendant from David. V'hainu d'Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. D'yomer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Mai d'chtiv hinei l'sholoim mar li mar. This is a pasuk that is in reference to Chizkiyo. Afilu b'shal sheshigilo HaKadosh Baruch Hu shalom. Even when the Almighty granted peace to Chizkiyo, in other words, he defeated the enemies, he brought him improved health, resulting in peace, mar hu li. I have a feeling of bitterness. And what's the feeling of bitterness? Insofar as that when his tefillos were answered, they were answered b'schus David, and not in his own merit as he thought. So that's the element of bitterness. Continuing in the Gemara, we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. If you can skim up to a higher point on the page, the second to last narrow lines of Gemara text, you will notice a parallel arrow. Before going on in the Gemara, we also have a structural note. The house form appears. So under our Nosei Mivneh heading in the outside margin, you notice we feature a house. And we note that these are Hesberim al Hapsukim Be'inyan Isha Shunamis Ve'elisha. These Psukim are found in Melachim Beis, Perek Dalet, Psukim Tes and Yud. So that we've highlighted the beginning of these different psukim, and following which you have explanations. Naase no alias kir ktana. So the reason for our arrow is because above there was a Rabbi Levi explained the posuk of Chizkiyo's davening by Yasa ponav alakir is a reference to the iske kir, and there was a reference to the isha shunamis, to the woman from Shunam who assisted Elisha, provided housing for him. So in our Gemara, we have that pasuk quoted, Naase no alias kir ktana. The Isha Shunamis said, let us make for the prophet this thing called an alias kir ktana. Rav Ushmuel, Chad Omar. Here you'll have these two Amoroim, and we've underlined the Chad Omars, each one explaining what he thinks that pasuk is a reference to. So Chalomar, one opinion is Aliyah Prua Hoysa the Ki Ruha, that the Isha Shunamis had a house with an open attic, an unroofed attic, and she, in order to make it useful as a lodging, so she roofed it. Ki Ruha, from the word in Hebrew Tikra is a ceiling. So she created a ceiling for this open air room. V'chad Omar, another version is Achsadra Gedoyla Hoysa. She had a large open chamber or hall, and she divided it into two. And in order to divide it, you make a wall, and a wall is called a kir. So now the Gemara goes back and forth regarding these two opinions. Bishlamo lamanda Omar Achsadra, the pshat that she had this large room which she divided, Hainu Dichtiv Kir. Hence the Pasuk uses the word Kir, which is an appropriate word for a wall division. Ela lamanda Omar Aliyah, but according to the opinion that said that she had an attic, my Kir, what is the use of the word kir when you're dealing with roofing something? So the Gemara answers, she ki ruha. Ki ruha, she means she put beams across the top forming a roof. So that the word kir is appropriate for that opinion as well, that she roofed an attic for him. Or open-air second story she roofed. Bishlomo lamanda Omar Aliyah. Now, the Gemara feels that the better approach at this point is the Aliyah approach. Hainu dichtiv Aliyas. In the original Pasuk, it said, Nasino Aliyas kir katana. The Aliyah is a second story from the word ole, something you rise up to, a second floor. Elo lamanda machsadro, my Aliyas, but according to the opinion that she divided a large room into two, what is the relevance of the word Aliyas? Answer, Mi'ula Shibabotim, the choicest of houses. It's an expression that is found elsewhere, but for our purposes, the word Aliyah doesn't mean a second story, a physical second story, but rather it means a better or choice house. So that the Achsadra that she divided was some type of choice room that she divided for providing lodging for the prophet Elisha.
Vinosim loy shom mita v'shulchan v'kisei u'menorah. This is a continuation of the posuk from Melachim Beis, Perek Dalid, posuk Yud, which we had seen in our previous house marking. The Isha Hashinamis says, "Let us place a bed, a table, and a chair, and a candelabra for the prophet." Abai v'tem Rabbi Yitzchok haroitze lahanos yehanam ke'elisha. If one's practice in dealing with people is one whereby he accepts favors and benefit from others, that is acceptable. There is no isser in accepting favors and benefits from others. And likewise, v'she'eino rotze lahanos, someone who doesn't want to benefit from others, wants to abstain from favors that are offered by others, al yehena, he has a right to abstain, kishmuel haramasi, like Shmuel from Roma, Shmuel Hanovi, shenemar, and here the Gemara explains how we see that Shmuel did not accept offers and favors from others. The pasuk says, "Uchuvasoi horomoso kishom beisoi." The Omar Rabbi Yochanan, "Shekol mokim shaholach shom beiso imo." The pasuk itself says, and his home was located in Roma. Ostensibly, that would be something fairly obvious. Once we knew that his home was in Roma, why does the pasuk have to tell us that? Let us take a look at the Rashi, Kishom Beisoi, Li'el Minei Ksiv. Before this it says, V'hoyo Midei Shona V'shona V'sovav Beiseil V'amitzveh V'shofad Yisrael, described Shmuel as traveling around the country, V'somech Lei U'tshuvosor Osu Kishom Beiso, V'chi Eini Yodea Shishom Beiso, did I not know that his house was in Roma? Elo Akulu M'koimus Dekrod Li'el Minei Koi. This posuk of Kishom Beiso is really a reference to all of the places in Israel that he traveled. Shekomokum shehoylech sham hoyonoisei
kokle tashmishe bayis imo va'oil chaniyosai. Wherever he went, he carried his own personal vessels with him, as well as a tent, shelo lehonos min achirim, so as not to benefit from others. And so our Gemara is telling us that it's okay to behave that way. And Rashi before said, Al Yehene, Rashi explains, V'ein b'dovor lo mishum gasus, ruach v'lo mishum sina. Such a behavior is not a sign of aloofness or haughtiness, nor is it something that one would have to worry that it's going to arouse sina, hate, or strife amongst others. One might have thought that, well, if you're abstaining from benefiting from others, it will cause a sense of disdain and antipathy from others. That is not something one has to worry about. Rather, it is an acceptable practice, and we have these two paths that one may choose, one of accepting favors from others and the other of not, and both are legitimate. The psukim continue, Vatomer el Isha. The Isha HaShunamis tells her husband, Hineno Yadati, Ki Ish Elohim Kodoshu, that this man of God, this is a reference to Elisha, he is a holy man. We have some triangles here, and we, on our Nosei Mivneh heading in the outside margin, the triangles are Pirushim Umeimro Shurab Yosi Rab Chanina. We have comments and statements of Rabbi Yosef Chanina, and also Vishor Rabbi Yosef Chanina Mishum Rabbi Elozer ben Yaakov. Some of them he will be quoting Rabbi Elozer ben Yaakov, and you can see with the markings quite a few of these statements appear. Continuing in the Gemara, Omar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. Mikan, from this pasuk we see Shoisha makeres beorchim yosu min oish, that a woman has a greater understanding or recognition of her guests more so than a man has. Kadosh hu, she said that he is holy. Min oyada, what sign did she see that she was able to conclude that he's a holy man? Rav Ushmuel, Chadomar, one of them, one of Rav or Shmuel says, Chadomar shelo rasa zvuv over al shulchanov, she noticed that no flies ever flew over his table. The Chadomar, another says, Sodin shel pishton hitzia amitaso, she provide bedding, linens for him, velo rasa carry alov, and she saw no emission on it. In other words, that he was in total control of these matters, indicating holiness. Kadosh who? Here the emphasis on the word he. He is holy. There is a limitation here, that he, as opposed to is a limitation or exclusion of someone else. Omer Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina, hu kadosh umishroso eno kodesh, kadosh. He is holy, but his servant is not. His servant's name was Gehazi. Vayigash Gehazi lahadafa. This servant of Elisha came and approached her. And the word lahadafa is explained, Omer Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina, she'ochsa behold yafya, that he grabbed her chest. Over aleinu tamid, Omer Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina, mishum Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, kol hamareach tamid chochem besoch beso, umahaneu minuchosov, anyone who hosts a Torah scholar in his house and benefits him from his own possessions, malav akosuv kilu makriv tamidim, it's considered as if he offered a daily sacrifice in the Beis Hamikdash. V'yomar Rabbi Yosef Chanina mishum Rabbi Elozer ben Yaakov, al yamid odom b'mokom gavoa v'yispalel. We've used a dashed underline and explained on the outside margin under our Nosei Mivneh heading that these are hadgoshes hamemros hakshuros l'tfila. These are an emphasis on those sayings and teachings regarding prayer. So here he tells us not to stand in a mokum gavone, in a high place, and daven. Rather, one should choose a lowly place, a low place, in order to daven, in order to pray. Shenemar, the pasuk says, "Mima'amakim krosicha Hashem." From the depths, I call out to Hashem. Tanya nami hochi, a Tanaic source that supports this. Lo yamud odom lo al gabi kisev lo al gabi shrafraf. person should not stand on a chair, nor on a stool, velo b'mokom gavoa v'ispal, nor on some type of high location and daven, elo b'mokom nomuch v'ispal, but rather on a lowly spot and daven. V'she'en gavus l'fnei ha'mokom, that in the presence of the Almighty there is no loftiness. She'ne'mar mima'makim krosich Hashem, from the depths I call out to Hashem. Uksiv tfilo le'oni ki atof. Tfilo le'oni means derech anius, in the way of the humble and impoverished. That is how tefillah is done. The Omar Rabbi Yosef Chanina Mishum Rabbi Lozer Ben Yankev Hamispal El Sos Yechavein Es Raglov. One who davens, especially we're talking here about Shmon Esrei, he should hold his, he should position his feet together. Shneimar V'Raglehem Regel Yishara. In describing the angels, the feet of angels appears as a singular foot. So having feet, having a person's feet one next to the other, it gives the appearance of being one foot. The Omer of Yosef Hanina, Mishum Rav Lozer Ben Yankev, Mai Dichtiv Loi Sochlu Al Hadam. What is taught or what is conveyed by this pasuk? Literally, don't eat on the blood. But what does it mean for us? Lo soichlu kodem shetispalu al damchem. One should not engage in eating before prayer. In other words, before davening, one wakes up in the morning, he shouldn't sit down to breakfast and then later take care of, and then later go to daven. But rather, first things first, daven, and then go to eat. Omar Rabbi Yitzchok, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Omar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Mishum, Rabbi Lozer Ben Yankev, Kol Ha'ochel V'Shoyes V'Achakach V'Spalel, anyone who eats and drinks and then goes to daven, Olav HaKosav Omer, regarding him, the Pasuk describes, V'Oisi Hashlachto Acharei Gavecha, Al Tikri Gavecha Elo Ge'echa, that me, says the Almighty, you have thrown me, instead of reading it as over your back, read it rather, you've thrown me aside because of your haughtiness. Ge'echa, haughtiness. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, li'achar shenizgoya zeh, kibel olov malchus shamayim. After he was mizgoya, means literally showed his own haughtiness, but for our purposes would mean he took care and tended to himself, he then accepted me upon him. So that's certainly an incorrect order, an incorrect way of doing things, but rather first one should show his allegiance and humility to the Almighty through davening and Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, accepting the yoke of heaven, and then take care of one's own personal needs. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Agimel Shos, this is a reference to the Mishnah where Rabbi Yeshua said that the morning Kriya Shema time lasts till the third hour of the day. Omer of Yehuda Omer Shmuel Halacha K'Rabbi Yeshua, that the Gemara here rules that in the event that one hasn't said Kriya Shema in the first off in the morning, he has till the third hour of the day. So that if you were dealing with the balance day, from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. being the daytime hours, so one would have from 6 to 7, 7 to 8, 8 to 9. So till 9 o'clock in the morning, there are 3 hours of daytime in which to say the Kriya Shema. Hakorei mikan ve'elech lo hifsid. One who recites the Kriya Shema after the third hour of the day, the Mishnah says he doesn't lose, and rather he is viewed as someone, he doesn't lose in the sense he isn't any less than someone who is reciting a passage from the Torah, a learning Torah. Of course he doesn't fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, that he does lose. The Nosei Mivneh heading that we have in the outside margin features a 1 and 2, as you will see in the Gemara. These are Shnei Lishonos, two versions. B'inyan HaKor Kriya Shema D'Shach Zachar Gimel Shos, one who says Kriya Shema of the morning after 3 hours. Ma Hadin Legabi HaBrochos, what halacha applies to the Birkos Kriya Shema. So now, the Gemara. Omar Rav Chista Omar Mar Ukva Ubulvan Shelo Yoimar Yoitzer Or. If you're going to be saying Kriya Shema after 9 a.m., and when we say 9 a.m., we're talking about the balanced day. Otherwise, one would take from sunrise till sunset, the amount of daylight hours, and divide them into 12, according to one of the derech of Meforshim, one, there is a controversy about how to divide a day, but for simplicity purposes, if you were to do it like that, 1/12 of that time would constitute an hour. So, but for our purposes of simplicity, we'll simply refer to 9 a.m. as being the end time for Kriya Shema, dealing with a perfect day of 12 hours of daylight. So Rav Chisda tells us, if you're going to say Kriya Shema after 9 a.m., don't say the Brocha of Yotzer Or, which is the first of the Birchas Kriya Shema that precede it. Meisvei Hakorei Mikan V'Elech Lo Hifsid Ke'odom Shu Korei BaTorah Avol Mevorech Hu Shtayim Lefoneo V'Achas Lacharel. In the morning, one who reads after the third hour of the morning, he is not losing any less than someone who is reading from the Torah, but he is expected to say the two brochas before and the one brocha, the brocha of Goal Yisrael afterwards. Tiyufta de Rav Chisda. Tiyufta, this is then a definitive repudiation of Rav Chisda's teaching. Rav Chisda said not to say it, and this source says you are to say it after the third hour. Iko diamri, Omar Rav Chisda, Omar Mar Ukva, my lo hifsid. What does lo hifsid of the Mishnah mean? Shelo hifsid brochos, that he doesn't lose the opportunity to say the brochos. Even though he is beyond the official time for Kriya Shema, he nevertheless is not beyond the official time for reciting the brochos of Kriya Shema. Tanya Nami Hochi, a source supports this. The same source as we just saw. Hakore Mikan V'Elech, lo hifsid, Kodem Shikori Batorah. Avol mevorech hu shtayim lefoneo v'achas lachareha. Omar Rav Moni, Godol hakori Kriya Shema v'inosu yosim oisik b'Torah. Greater is the merit of saying Kriya Shema on time more than the study of Torah. How do I know this? Midekotoni, from the fact that it says hakori mikan v'elech lo hifsid kodem hakori b'Torah, that reading beyond the time you're not experiencing a total loss insofar as you're getting Torah learning credit. One can infer from this, though, that reading on time is even better. The Mishnah. Before learning the Mishnah, we glance at the outside margin under our No Say heading. Tsuras ha'odom tenu chosoi, his positioning, b'sha'as amiras Kriya Shema. How is one to position himself bodily when he is reciting the Kriya Shema? And we'll see in Machlokes, Beis Shammai, and Beis Hillel. So now the Mishnah. Beis Shammai Omrim, Bo'erev Kol Odom Yate Vikra. In the evening, one should recline on his side and say the Kriya Shema. Ubaboker, in the morning, Yamoid, he should stand. Shnemar, Vishoch Becha, Uvikumecha, Vishoch Becha, it has to do with Shochev is reclining, and Bekumecha, standing. Kum is to stand. Ubeitzilo Omrim, Kol Odom, Kore Kedarko. A person shall read in however way he wants, whether it be standing, or reclining, or seated, or walking. Shenemar, it says, Uvalechtecha Baderech, as you are walking. One can say Kriya Shema even while walking. Im Kain, Lomo Nemar Uvashafa Avukmecha. So according to Beis Hillel, what does he do with these expressions of reclining and standing? So the answer is, those are a reference to not position, but rather time. Bishoah Shibnei Adam Shochvim. Kriya Shema is recited when people are sleeping, and Ubishah Shibnei Adam Omdin, when people are awake. In other words, a nighttime and daytime. Omra Bitarfun, Ani Hoisi Boba Derech. I was once on the road, V'itesi Likros Kedivrei Beis Shammai, and evening set in, and I reclined to say, to practice, or to say the Kriya Shema as Beis Shammai, V'sikanti Ba'atzmi Nei Halistim, and at that time, at that moment, I found myself in danger of bandits. Omru Lo, those who were listening to his story, told him, Kedai Ho Yisrael L'chuv Ba'atzmecha, we would say, you had it coming to you, Shavarto al Divrei Beis Hillel, you violated Beis Hillel. because as far as Beis Hillel is concerned, if you're walking on the road, continue saying it. Continue saying the Kriya Shema while walking. There's no need to go out of your way to recline. And you reclined in order to fulfill Beis Shammai, as you testified, and that was wrong. It was wrong to violate the teaching of Beis Hillel. This concludes today's Gemara section. For those who are interested, there follows a shiur on today's Tosfos. So as we go back now to the to Daf Yud, we know that Daf Yud Amud Aleph, the Tosfos there, we learned already as part of our previous shiur. So we continue now with the Tosfosim, it's actually only one Tosfos that we have on Daf Yud Amud Beis. This Tosfos refers to a Gemara that we did very much toward the end of our Gemara section. Gadol hakor Kriyas Shema Bo'inasa Yoser Me'oisek B'Torah. Greater is the recitation of Kriyas Shema more than the study of Torah. So Tosfos asks, Tema afilu tefila nami. Even regarding Shmona Esrei, we stop the learning of Torah for tefila. Doha amrinon perakama de Shabbos. It's said and it's taught in the first parak of Shabbos, Kigon Onu, like us, as opposed to the likes of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, Mafsikin Bain L'Kriyas Shema Bain L'Tefila. We will stop our Torah learning, whether it be for Kriyas Shema or for Tefila. So what Tosfos is asking here is why? What is the emphasis here in our Gemara on the special feature of Kriyas Shema, where it sounds like something is unique to Kriyas Shema in that it's presented as being even greater than Torah study, when we see that even Tefillah preempts Torah study. V'yesh lomar, Tosfos answers, Dahochi ko'amar. The praise of Kriyas Shema in this Gemara is not so much in its ability to preempt Torah study, but rather, yoser, the greater is Kriyas Shema, Yoser me'oisek b'torah pamacheres shelo b'shas Kriyas Shema. If you had to put on a balance scale these two mitzvos, the study of Torah on one side and the recitation of Kriyas Shema on time, not pitting one off against the other in terms of coinciding of time where you would say have to stop your Torah learning, but in a vacuum, so to speak, Kriyas Shema on time and Torah learning at some other time. Torah learning in the afternoon, for example, which is not the time for Kriyas Shema. Which of the two is a greater mitzvah? So we say, that's what our Gemara is saying, that a greater mitzvah, a greater fulfillment, a greater something that's considered of greater significance is the recitation of Kriyas Shema on time is a greater mitzvah than the study of Torah during some other time. Once again, let's read that again. V'yesh lomar dahochi kamar yoiser, namely godol Kriyas Shema v'zmano yoiser me'oisik b'torah pamacheres shelo b'shas Kriyas Shema. Aba ha'oisik b'torah b'shas Kriyas Shema, one who is engaged in Torah study during the time that one is obligated to say Kriyas Shema, lo mairi. That's not what our Gemara here is talking about. V'afilu b'tfila posik, because if that were the case, even for tefillah, one would stop his Torah learning in order to daven the Shmona Esrei. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.